To see today's photo, go to mtforchrist.org or follow me, MT Clark, on Facebook or Twitter. Good morning. Today's photo of the sun peeking over a blue sky horizon over a green meadow bathed in light and shadows comes to us from an unknown Facebook friend who shared this scene on social media back on or around April 21st, 2021. I believe this is a scene from somewhere in the Catskill Mountains area of Greene County, and if this beauty is yours, let me know, and I'll give photo credit where photo credit is due by updating the blog after the fact. Well, it's Thursday, and I share this sunlit pathway of green grass as a visual reminder to get out there and enjoy your life, and to find the peace and joy that is available through Christ alone, and by following His lead through life. Yesterday, the Celebrate Freedom Growth Group met last night at Star Point Church, and I was happy to see some faces I hadn't seen in a while. And glad to be a part of the ministry because we give people a place to come to when they realize they have strayed from the path that God would have them follow. More than one testimony spoke of the suffering that comes from doing life without God and the peace that results from turning back to Him and coming home. One person testified that they were asked by their significant other why they bothered going to our group at all, since they were struggling and sometimes miserable in the recovery. Believe me, I wondered the same thing at times, but I was pleasantly surprised and encouraged to hear them say that our group is helping them, that even though their recovery has been a series of successes and failures, this person reported that their current state was so much better than when they first started coming last year. They reported that they were currently clean and sober and believed that they were making progress. And that's what our Christian walk of faith is all about, progress, not perfection. We are seeking the Lord and asking for His help. And sometimes that comes little by little, bit by bit, one day at a time. We celebrate our freedom today and seek to increase it by adding today as another day free tomorrow. Progress, not perfection, one day at a time. Following the Lord's will for our lives is the way we get free and the way we experience the abundant life of peace, joy, love, goodness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, patience, and self-control that comes from walking in the Spirit. And so we take another step on the path of Christian discipleship to experience that life and to move us through the season of Lent. It's the 20th day of Lent, and so we continue my personal walkthrough of Gracia Grindal's 40-day journey with Martin Luther to observe and celebrate the Lenten season. And this walkthrough of Grindal's devotional is our hope that we'll get to know Martin Luther a little better as we seek to draw closer to the Lord on our journey to Resurrection Sunday, Easter. And so we continue journey day number 20, and Martin Luther writes, "And I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day He rose again. He ascended into heaven, seated at the right hand of God, the Almighty Father, from where He will come to judge the living and the dead." When we were created by God the Father and had received from Him all kinds of good things, the devil came and led us into disobedience, sin, death, and all misfortune. As a result, we lay under God's wrath and displeasure, sentenced to eternal damnation, as we have merited it and deserved it. There was no counsel, no help, no comfort for us until this only and eternal Son of God, in His unfathomable goodness, had mercy on us because of our misery and distress, and came from heaven to help us. Those tyrants and jailers have now been routed, and their place has been taken by Jesus Christ, the Lord of life, righteousness, and every good and blessing. He has snatched us, poor lost creatures, from the jaws of hell, won us, made us free, and restored us to the Father's favor and grace. as his own possession, he has taken us under his protection and shelter in order that he may rule us by his righteousness, wisdom, power, life, and blessedness. And that was Martin Luther's commentary on the Apostles' Creed section of Jesus, you know, that pertains to Jesus Christ. And our devotional shares the following biblical wisdom from Romans 5, 8 through 10, which says, God proves his love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more surely then, now that we have been justified by his blood, will we be saved through him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more surely, having been reconciled, will we be saved by his life. And at that point, our devotional instructs us to take a moment of silence to meditate on what Martin Luther has to say and on that biblical wisdom. So you can pause the podcast or listen quietly to the stillness and contemplate what they have to say. But after you're done meditating, we can move along to the questions to ponder. The first one is, note the very strong sense of conflict between good and evil, Christ and the devil in Luther. Where do you think the human being is in this battle? If you have a hymnal with you, read and meditate on Luther's A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. I don't have a hymnal, but I was able to pull up the lyrics to A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, and so I checked it out. As for me, I believe the human being is at the center of a battle between the Lord and the devil. Christ calls us to come to him and be saved. The enemy seeks to kill us and lead us into temptation and sin. Even after we are saved, the enemy seeks to neutralize us through doubts and sin and to keep us in bondage to prevent us from working for the kingdom. As a mighty fortress is our God states, for still our ancient foe doth seek to work us woe. The enemy is trying to bring us down. When we trust in Christ, we can have victory over Satan. But we must believe in, abide in, and follow Jesus to be victorious. As the song says, he must win the battle. Next question is, what kind of freedom do we receive from Christ's victory? How is this worked out in our daily lives? We have been given freedom over sin and death, Romans 8:2. And when we know this and live according to it or work it out in our daily lives, we experience a life of increasing victory over sin as we progress, as we are progressively sanctified, and one of joy and hope, knowing that death has lost its sting. There's nothing to fear, for we are safe in Christ forever. And the last question is, what does it mean to say that Christ rules us by righteousness, wisdom, power, life, and blessedness? Well, those are attributes of God. That's who Jesus is. And so it makes sense that he would rule by righteousness, wisdom, power, life, and blessedness. And when we are obedient to his rule over our lives, that's what we experience too. His righteousness, his power, wisdom, his power and life and blessedness. We experience it all when we walk in the Spirit. And that moves us on to our psalm fragment today, which is Psalm 103, or I'll have to check that, 103 or 108, verses 2 through 4. There is no 1038 psalm, so I'll have to check that after the fact. My apologies. But the verse is, bless the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy. And that moves us on to the journal reflections, which instructs us to meditate on the struggle between good and evil, Christ and the devil, in your own life. Does it seem real to you? Do you sense it daily? And how? Yes, the battle is real. Besides the occasional demonic nightmare, there is a fairly steady campaign from the enemy to draw me into temptation, to indulge the flesh, or to just be condemned into despair. It seems real to me, and I can sense it daily by looking at the world's confusion and sin around me. The state of the world and the suffering of those not following Christ makes the enemy and his world system very easy to see. And the next one says, journal about the ways in which public worship and private devotion reassure you of Christ's victory and empower you to live in the freedom Christ gives. Public worship and private devotions remind me of the goodness of God and of who I am in Christ. Through the proclamation of the truth of the Word of God, I am assured of Christ's victory, and that empowers me to live in the freedom He gives us. And the last instruction is, write about the ways in which you experience Christ's power and presence in moments of weakness, failure, fear, or doubt. Is there anything you might do to better avail yourself of Christ's power and presence at all times? When I am feeling weak, fearful, or have moments of failure and doubt, I remind myself that I have been born again, and I have put my trust in Jesus as my Lord and Savior, and it is He who defines me. The best way to avail ourselves of Christ's power and presence at all times is to walk in the Spirit and to abide in Christ, where you are literally walking and talking with God throughout your day. When we stay in His presence, we receive the Lord's power and peace. And that moves us along for prayers for the life of faith, which instructs us to pray that you may claim the victory of Jesus over sin, death, and the devil, and that you may help those around you to hear the good news that in Christ there is hope and victory. So let's pray that. Lord, I thank you that I can claim your victory over sin, death, and the devil, because I have put my faith in you. Help me to help others around me to know that there is hope and victory in Christ alone. In Jesus' name, amen. Finally, our prayer for today is, Lord Jesus, I thank you that for all your many blessings to me. Help me to claim your promises all through the day today, no matter the difficulties I may face. Amen. And that moves us along to today's Bible verse from the Quick Scripture Reference for Counseling by John G. Cruis. This morning's meditation verses come from the section on contentment, coveting, and priorities. And today we are sharing Luke 12:16-21. And the Word of God says, and he told them a parable, saying, the land of a rich man produced plentifully. And he thought to himself, what shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops. And he said, I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. And our devotional shared this statement regarding those passages. The rich fool stored up things for himself, but was not rich toward God, so his life was demanded of him. So there you go. And today's verses fall under the seventh point of our counseling reference guide's resource section on contentment, coveting, and priorities. And that seventh point is the parable of the rich fool teaches that life is more than material riches. Today's verses remind us that money can't buy us a place in heaven, and that trusting in the riches of this world is foolish. Man is capable of great things through hard work and intelligence, but we are fools to think that this earth and this life is all there is. As the Lenten slogan from Genesis 3:19 says, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return. And so we should realize that we will die someday, and our possessions will be left behind, and we will face God. Our riches can't save us, only Jesus can. And it is the Lord Jesus himself who tells us this. So don't trust in material riches. Trust in him who can give you the rich life of peace that comes from walking in the Spirit and life forevermore in God's kingdom. As always, I invite all to go to mtforchrist.org, where I always share insights from prominent Christian theologians and counselors to assist my brothers and sisters in Christ with their walk. Today, we continue sharing from According to Your Word, Morning and Evening Through the New Testament by Stephen F. Alford. And in his devotions, he instructs us to read a chapter of Scripture. Today's chapter is Luke 9, and he shares from Luke 9, portion of verse 50, which says, Jesus said to him, do not forbid him, for he who is not against us is on our side. And Stephen Alford writes, John had seen one casting out devils in the name of the Lord Jesus, and just because he did not recognize this man to be a disciple for one who followed with the 12, he forbade him. John said distinctly, because he does not follow with us, Luke 9:48, he did not seem to realize that a person could be a sincere follower of the Lord Jesus without necessarily being outwardly associated with the disciples. The Lord Jesus, however, said, do not forbid him, for he is not against us, is on our side. He could look at the heart, while John merely looked at the outward appearance. The Lord was satisfied, John was not. Jesus did not condemn the man, but John did. Oh, how simple it is to condemn fellow Christians just because they don't follow us. And Stephen Alford ends his devotional by praying, Lord, help me to be able to comprehend with all saints what is the length and breadth of your love. Amen. And that concludes our sharing today on the blog and podcast. It's Thursday. I don't know. We have to work and go about our business and deal with the problems that face us. And the best way to do that with hope and peace is by walking in the Spirit. So we recommend a daily spiritual practice where you pray and read the Bible or meditate on the wisdom of God's Word and thank God for who you are in Christ and for the work He's done in you and the work He's continuing to do in you. As I stated, it's not about perfection, it's about progress. And when we walk in the Lord, walk with the Lord, we can have peace and victory and freedom, and it can increase. And like I said, those testimonies last night at Celebrate Freedom told me, like, these people, you know, might have missed a few weeks of our meetings or, you know, or whatever, but they were glad to be back because, you know, you don't get the fellowship of the saints anywhere else, you know, other than faith communities or small groups, you know, and where you get to confess the truth about who you are in Christ and, you know, the fact that God is there to help us through life. And I was greatly encouraged by the testimonies last night and the fellowship that we've created there, where we get to check in every week and just encourage each other to keep going and keep following the Lord and to report the victories that we have. Like I said, we call it Celebrate Freedom, not Celebrate Recovery, because we deviate a little bit from the way things Celebrate Recovery does things, and we put the emphasis on our freedom, not on recovery. And I think it makes a big difference. It did in my life, and it continues to in my life. I was just marveling this morning, you know, over my freedom. You know, I was consumed, you know, all my life, I was consumed by alcohol, drugs, sexual addiction. And now it's not even on the radar. Like I said, I'm tempted to indulge in the flesh, but the enemy doesn't even bother me with sexual sin or you know, alcohol and drugs so much. I can't say it completely, but it's nothing like it used to be. So, yeah, I'm not perfect, but there's progress there. And he doesn't afflict me in those areas so much. The only area right now is, you know, the one that's stark is the one, you know, the one that stands out is the one you focus on, right? So I'm focusing on food and being healthy. And so that's the area I have to be concerned with and be aware. Awareness is a big key to victory. What am I doing? What am I thinking? Why do I act this way? And when we unpeel the truth of what we do, we realize that we believed a lot of lies about things. That quote-unquote good food is the sweet stuff, the fattening stuff. You know, do you believe that lie? That the only good food is the sweet stuff or the fattening stuff? The stuff that causes you to gain weight? Do you consider that to be good food? Why is it good? Because it tastes good? Because it's not good for you? So, you know, so shift your paradigm and go, you know what? Those things aren't good at all. Yeah. They give me extra pounds and that causes me pain. That's not good. So let's call it bad and call the healthy stuff good, you know? So it's pretty simple, but when you actually get that revelation, it changes things. And it allows you to say no. And the same goes for drugs, alcohol, and sexual addiction, you know? Wow, it's good to feel that way. Well, I don't like the way it makes me feel afterwards. And there's a lot of pain and suffering that follows it. So let's stop doing it and enjoy the peace of not having to suffer shame and guilt and pain. So that's that. Today's another day in the kingdom, so let's thank God and pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, thank you for another day in your kingdom. We thank you so much for the freedom you've given us and the fact that we can make progress and increase when we focus on you and abide on you and what you've done in our lives and who we are in Christ. Lord, we just pray for you to go before us today. We also pray for anyone who's listening or reading today's message that you'd bless them in their walk of faith, because we all need your help. And so we do pray for you to go before us today and show us the way. Open our eyes to the things you want us to see and lead us into the things you would have us do. Because all we want to do is represent you in your kingdom, Lord, to show other people that they can be free and victorious over the enemy when they simply follow you and believe what you've given them already. Lord, we thank you, we praise you, we love you, and we pray all these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.